The book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 1 through 12, and then chapter 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason, I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Chapter 2, verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they upset the faith of some. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Now, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting them who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them to a change of mind leading to the knowledge of the truth. And they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Heavenly Father, as we begin now to look at this very last letter, this last communication that we have from the Apostle Paul, Lord, may we see some of the things in his final words that are most important to him. And Lord, this morning, may we see that those are the things that you have called upon each believer to continue. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Paul begins in this letter of 2 Timothy by thanking God for Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 3. I thank God. I thank God. Remembering Timothy in his prayers, night and day. Longing to see Timothy, mindful of Timothy's sincere faith. He thanks God for Timothy. And Timothy had been with Paul, had traveled with Paul, was trained by Paul, and we will see that Paul counted Timothy as loyal, someone who would continue Paul's ministry. So Paul is thankful for Timothy. He's thankful for Timothy as a brother, as a, Paul calls him a dear son in the faith. And as a servant of Christ, Paul is thankful for him. And so Paul trusts Timothy and others, but this letter is to Timothy. Paul trusts Timothy to continue Paul's ministry after Paul will be killed. He's trusting Timothy to continue his ministry. 2 Timothy is the last of Paul's letters, written sometime early in the year 67 AD. And Paul was beheaded, at least some sources of history tell us, June 29th of that same year, 67 AD. By the way, Peter and Paul were both executed the same day, but in different sections of Rome, because remember, Paul was a Roman citizen. That's why Paul was beheaded. Beheading was considered less severe than crucifixion. So Peter was crucified, history tells us, upside down, and in a different section of Rome than Paul, though would have been the same day. And there are those who celebrate June 29th as St. Peter and Paul Day, because that is considered the day of their execution. Now, Paul knew this time was coming, and he knew it was coming soon. So why is he writing this letter now to Timothy? He wants Timothy to continue his ministry after he's gone. continue it. Now, Paul stresses throughout 2 Timothy that his ministry had included at least three things. Now, there are many more. We've already seen Paul had a prayer ministry, but that's only mentioned in passing in this book. But the three things Paul includes, his ministry included the preaching of the gospel. Chapter 1, verses 8 through 12. In verse 8, suffering for the gospel, the power of God for salvation. And that is not, verse 9, according to works, but it's according to grace. It's granted in Christ from all eternity. Verse 10, death abolished, eternal life, immortality brought, for this Paul was appointed a preacher. And he suffers these things knowing whom he has believed, Christ. So, the preaching of the gospel, Christ, grace, eternal life, faith. Chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, Jesus, risen from the dead, the resurrection, the gospel, the word of God, salvation in Christ, eternal glory. All of those things surrounding the gospel. This was Paul's ministry. The word, Jesus, grace, faith, all the time. That was his ministry. Now, his ministry also included the teaching of the Word of God. Chapter 1, verse 11, he was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. The teaching of the Word of God. Chapter 1, verse 13, Timothy is to retain the standard of sound words which Timothy heard from whom? From Paul. Paul taught the word to him. Chapter 2, verse 2. The things which you have heard from me. That's Paul. Things you heard, Timothy, from Paul. The teaching of the Word of God. Chapter 2, verse 9. The Word of God is not imprisoned. You could lock Paul up, but you couldn't lock his teaching up, could you? The Word of God is not imprisoned. Chapter 4, verse 17. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished. The teaching, the proclamation of the Word of God. So Paul's ministry included the preaching of the gospel, the teaching of the Word of God, and suffering. suffering for Christ, suffering for the gospel. Chapter 1, verse 8, join with me in suffering for the gospel. Chapter 1, verse 12, for this reason I also suffer these things. Chapter 2, verse 3, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 9, for which I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal. Suffering, being imprisoned. Chapter 4, verse 10, some of Paul's most intense suffering and affliction came from those whom he at least thought had been his brothers and sisters in Christ. He had trusted them. And then look, Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me. That was some of Paul's most intense suffering, was to be deserted by people that he had trusted. Chapter 4, verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. And he's warning Timothy about this guy. Chapter 4, verse 15, he says to Timothy, be on guard against him, Alexander the coppersmith, for he vigorously opposed our teaching. You see, that suffering didn't come from the hands of the Roman government. That suffering came against Paul from inside the church. That was the great pain. You just read through all of Paul's letters and you will see that again. And when Paul says, Demas has deserted me, has forsaken me, you should picture Paul weeping as he says that. Some of his greatest hurts. Suffering for Christ. Suffering for the gospel. You can check out 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 28 on your own. But you'll see there that Paul had many imprisonments and beatings, left to the point of death, several times shipwrecked, robbed, without food, in hunger, thirst, all kinds of things that were characteristic of Paul's ministry. Suffering. Now, these are the things that Paul is instructing and encouraging Timothy to continue. So Paul encourages and instructs Timothy, so that Timothy will continue Paul's ministry. We see the encouragement in chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Paul says, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and discipline, or a sound mind. Paul's encouraging Timothy. Timothy, you are gifted. Rekindle your gift that when you were first ordained and Paul was there and was involved in Timothy's ordination to ministry, the laying on of Paul's hands. Paul says, keep that gift fresh. You don't need to be timid, afraid. You have power, love, and discipline from the Lord. Chapter 2, verses 7 through 13, Paul says to consider what I say. The Lord will give you understanding in everything. You know, Timothy, if you're saying, I don't get all this, I don't know. Paul says, just keep listening. Think about what I say. The Lord will give you understanding in this. And stay focused on Christ. Remember Jesus Christ, his resurrection, descendant of David. He is the Messiah, the gospel, the word of God. You can endure all these things like Paul says he's doing for the sake of the gospel. We have the promises. Chapter 2, verse 11. We die with him. We will live with him. The promise of our resurrection. If we endure, we will reign. The promise of reward in the future kingdom. If we deny him, he will deny us. That is, he will deny us reward in the future kingdom. He won't deny us that he knows us or that we know him. That can't happen. Why can't that happen? Because verse 13, if we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Timothy, you have Jesus. You have salvation. You have, therefore, everything you need to carry out your life and ministry. All of the promises of God, they are yours. You have them. And that is true of every believer in Christ. Every single one. So Paul's encouraging Timothy. And throughout this book of 2 Timothy, Paul is instructing Timothy. There are, and I'll leave it to you to count them or figure them out, but there are 32 Greek imperatives in 2 Timothy. Now, we're not going to go through those this morning, And some of you might say, so what? These are all instructions from Paul to Timothy about how Timothy should carry on Paul's ministry. And we'll just look at some of them here this morning. In chapter 1, verse 8, there's an imperative: join with me in suffering. Join with me in suffering. Now, join with me in suffering. In Greek, that's all one word. Okay? Join with me in suffering. And it is in an imperative form. Therefore, that's a command from Paul to Timothy. Suffering in the service of Christ is not optional. You know, Timothy might say, well, yeah, Paul, I'd like to continue your ministry, but could I please do it without the suffering that you've gone through? Paul says, no. You can't do it without the suffering. You can't. Join with me in suffering. That same word is repeated in chapter 2, verse 3. And Paul says, suffer hardship with me. That's, again, all one word, all one Greek word, and it's the same word that we saw in chapter 1, verse 8. Suffer hardship with me. It's an imperative as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So Paul's instruction to Timothy is, join with me in suffering. Timothy, you've seen what I've gone through for the gospel. Okay, Timothy, you do it. You do it. There's another imperative, chapter 2, verse 1. Be strong. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This is a rather unique Greek form. It's a present passive imperative. Now, you should be wondering, how can an imperative be passive? Well, here's how you do it. It really would be translated like this: be being made strong. Made strong, that's the passive part. Be being, that's the present imperative part. Be being made strong. Be strong. Timothy, to continue my ministry, you have to be strong. You have to be strong in grace. Not strong in yourself, Paul doesn't say, Timothy, you need a strong personality. No. Timothy, you need to be strong in grace. The ministry is all about grace. And I would dare say, if Paul could capsulize this today, he would say, the ministry isn't about anything other than grace. It's grace and grace and grace and grace and grace. So, Timothy, be strong in that. Okay. So, Paul wants Timothy to continue his ministry. He knows that will take suffering, and he knows it will take strength. Well, for what? Paul explains in chapter 2, verse 2, the purpose for which Timothy must be strong in grace to continue Paul's ministry. What's the purpose? Here it is. The things which you have heard from me. So, Timothy, what you heard from me in the presence of many witnesses. Timothy, you're not the only one who has heard these things from me. Many witnesses have heard them as well. And trust these, what? The things you've heard from me, and trust these things to faithful men, and the word is anthropois, not androis. Therefore, that includes men and women. And trust these to faithful, we could say, to faithful people, not just males, but to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. The purpose for which Timothy must be strong in grace and must suffer is disciple making. It is the teaching of the gospel, the teaching of the Word of God. Be strong in grace for that. The teaching of that. That is the ministry. Notice there are four generations, we might say, of teaching in this verse. There is Paul. Things you've heard from me, Paul. There's Timothy. You, Timothy, and the many witnesses. That's the second generation. So Paul, Timothy, and the many witnesses. The third generation is faithful people. So, Timothy, you'll teach these to faithful people. And then those faithful people will what? Teach others also. Say, Paul, how is your ministry going to continue? Well, Timothy and these other witnesses are going to take what I've taught them, and they're going to teach those things to others who will then get them, become faithful, and teach them to others for generations. And of course, the implication is then those people will teach them to others, and those people will teach them to others. And it will go on, that the ministry will continue. Notice the plurals in this verse. In the presence of many witnesses, this wasn't just Paul talking to Timothy one-on-one. Wasn't. Entrust these to faithful men, faithful people, plural, not entrust these to one faithful person. No. Faithful people who will then be able to teach others, not just somebody else, others, plural. Paul is talking about the context of the church here, where his teaching could be heard by many witnesses who would then teach it to others, who would then teach it to others, who would then teach it to others. The goal of a church service is not what did I get out of it. Do you know that? The goal of the church service is what do I now have to teach and communicate to somebody else? All the time. So that's the purpose that Paul gives to Timothy. Then in the rest of chapter 2, Paul presents 6 pictures to illustrate what a disciple maker who is strong in grace, namely Timothy, should look like. What does this person that will carry on Paul's ministry look like? Well, the first picture in chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 is a soldier. Suffer hardship with me, that's an imperative, as a good soldier. The soldier stays focused, not entangling himself in the affairs of everyday life. And the soldier has one focused desire, that is to please the one who has enlisted him as a soldier. And in the case of Paul's illustration here, that is the Lord. The Lord enlists believers into ministry. Believers should be good soldiers. They should be in active service. They should be focused, not having all kinds of other priorities ahead of this. They should have their highest priority to please the Lord. Yeah. That's what a disciple maker looks like. Soldier. And soldiers can endure all kinds of hardship, can't they? And sometimes do. Second picture, chapter 2, verse 5, an athlete. Disciple maker looks like an athlete. Competes as an athlete. He doesn't win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The athlete is disciplined. Stays in shape. Practices. Gets prepared. Competes according to the rules. I think I've shared with you before, I saw a runner in a cross-country race who got out a couple hundred yards from the starting line and jumped off to the side and hid in the woods and then waited until he thought people were returning, and he jumped back out of the woods and crossed the finish line in first place without having run the race. Yes, he got caught. Yes, he was disqualified. He did not compete according to the rules, did he? He cheated. There are no shortcuts. Say, well, give me 5 easy steps in how you make a disciple. It's your life. It's your life. It's an investment of your life. An athlete. Picture number 3, chapter 2, verse 6, a farmer. The farmer is hard working, and the farmer should be the one who gets the first reward, right? The first share of the crops, provision and reward. This kind of ministry is hard work. Farming gives you the idea of an agricultural metaphor for ministry. That means, I mean, it would be great if all you had to do in farming was go out and pick the crops and enjoy it. But you have to plow and weed, fertilize, sow seed, water. You know, there's hard work involved in this. Chapter 2, verse 15, the fourth picture, is a workman. Now, the whole context of this goes from verse 14 to verse 19. But the workman is to be diligent. That's also an imperative. Some of your versions say study. And the word itself actually means to labor to the point of perspiration. You know, be diligent in studying the Bible until you sweat. Say, well, I don't necessarily work up a sweat. Okay. Be diligent in studying your Bible until you get a heavenly headache. I mean, study till your head hurts. And then when your head starts to hurt, don't stop studying, study more. Say, well, I don't like that. Well, then join me in suffering. This is what it takes. This is the serving of the Lord. Workmen. A workman, whether it's a workman in a field or a workman on a construction site, the idea is that the workman works hard. The workman doesn't get involved in other kinds of things like wrangling about words and worldly empty chatter and all the false teachings that are going around. No, he just stays focused. He is accurately handling the word of truth. Say, well, this sounds so difficult. You realize all the Awana kids know this verse, right? This is the Awana verse. Awana, approved workmen are not ashamed. Okay? If the kids can get this, you can get this. Picture number 5, chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. A vessel of honor. In a house, there can be gold vessels, silver vessels, some wood, some clay, earthenware. Some are for honor, some are for dishonor. The Lord wants to use the vessels of honor, whatever they're made out of. The vessels of honor, they are sanctified. They are set apart for God's purpose, serving Him. They're useful to the Master. Prepared for every good work. This involves purity, sanctification. A vessel of honor. A vessel of dishonor, an impure, we might say, don't serve the meal in a dirty dish. Right? Don't serve the meal in a dirty dish. Well, the Lord wants to serve His meal through you. Don't be a dirty dish. Be cleansed. Be pure. A vessel of honor. And picture number 6. Verses 23 through 26, a bond servant. A bond servant. This is a word for slave. A slave and probably a freed slave that has been granted His freedom. A bond servant of Christ. You'll notice verse 24. The Lord's bond servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to all. You don't teach the word by quarreling. You teach the word by being kind, being able to teach. You teach the word. Teach the word. Patient when wronged. And if you are faithfully teaching the word over time, you will be wronged. Be patient when wronged. Gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, doesn't mean that you don't take a stand and teach truth and correct error. You do correct error, but you correct error gently. Gently. And you do this so that the Lord may grant a change of mind leading to the knowledge of truth, so that people can come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, so that they'll be saved. So that they'll be saved. There is an implication here that those who are in doctrinal error do not have a knowledge of the truth, and it's because they're not saved. Okay. They need to be taught. They need to be corrected. And it takes a bond servant. A bond servant of Christ must be able to teach the word. Must be. Say, well, but that's not my spiritual gift. Okay. You still must be able to teach the word. You know, to say that you don't have, would be like saying, well, giving isn't my spiritual gift, so therefore I don't have to give. No, we all have to give. But some are more gifted in giving than others, right? We all have to teach. Some are more gifted in teaching than others. Okay. Why 2 Timothy? Why now? We've said this was Paul's last letter. He's transferring his ministry to Timothy. We'll be seeing this over the course of weeks. You know, today for me is T minus 5 weeks and counting. Okay? This is Paul's last letter. He wants his ministry to continue. Some questions for you. Are you continuing this ministry? Are you continuing this ministry? Okay. That's not a question about location. That's a question about continuing the ministry of the gospel, the ministry of the Word of God and the ministry of suffering. Are you a good soldier of Christ Jesus? Are you an athlete in the work of the Lord? Are you a farmer, a hard-working farmer? Are you a workman being diligent, studying, so that you will not be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth? Are you a vessel of honor? Are you a bond servant of Christ? Those are questions. Paul was putting that forward to Timothy. I'm putting that forward to you today. Yes, there's been suffering. There's been difficulty. But you know what? Thank the Lord for those who are faithful. Thank the Lord for good soldiers of Christ. The Lord gets the praise for all of that. But thank the Lord, like Paul thanked the Lord for Timothy. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you will take of this and bring your servants to the kind of ministry that you would desire.